It's time to Talk It Over, starring Diane Diamond, Lee J. Berman, and Louise Palanker. Give us a call at 888-531-7171. Email us at talkitover@gmail.com. Join us online at talkitoverradio.com. Because we're ready to talk it over.
We are indeed. In fact, we've been talking it over even before the music started to play. Hey, everybody. I am Diane Diamond, journalist, columnist, all-around busybody. Over there is Lee J. Berman. He's our professional mediator. He does it for a living, but today he's going to give away his advice for free, right?
I'm going to do the very best that I can.
There you go. And sitting to his right, left, what is that? Yes, that's right. Louise Palanker. She is our professional wiseacre, right? I mean, you have a diploma.
Yeah, but
this,
I don't
right?
do it for free, Diane.
Oh, I know. Well, here's a Diet Coke. Is that
okay.
Enough?
Well, yeah, I think that'll do.
How was that for product
Thank you
placement?
Very much.
One venti mocha, and she's a happy camper.
Oh, that's my brew.
All righty. Well, everybody have a good week? I always ask that.
Awesome. I've been traveling, and
You're always going somewhere, man.
Yeah. Go. Because I'm making this movie about the Cowsills.
Uh-huh.
So, you got to go where the Cowsills are going. And it's fun and adventurous and you know what's stressful is airports?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no kidding.
Wow. It seems like the flight part is the easy part. But just that whole stress of, is the plane going to actually ever take off?
Well, and are you going to get your shoes back on in time? And, do you have to put your belt back on?
Making connections and so stressful. Well, so, yeah, I'm having a conflict with airports.
Okay. Well, that's one we can't solve.
Even the rest of America, I think, yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm pretty conflict-free, actually.
Well, but, you're kind of doing double duty here. You're on TV every night, and then you're doing Talk It Over, and you're writing your triple duty. You're writing your column.
I seem to recall an issue with some tour buses that Diane got into a tiff with.
Oh, did you? Man. Oh, that's it. Well, we'll hold that till the end of the show, or later in the show. So
I hope you pelted
around
them with rocks and bottles.
Oh, no, but with a few choice words anyway.
Oh, I love that.
But as busy as I am, I'm always up on the news. You know that. And I'm looking at this conflict in the news recently about homeless people. Now, specifically, there's been a story getting a lot of play about, the big bad mayors across the country are shipping the homeless people out of their cities. And, can I say do-gooder or the whatever groups are like, oh, that's terrible. You can't just ship them out. That's being mean. It's shifting the problem. But you see, they didn't stop to talk it over. That's not what's happening at all. So many times we have these knee-jerk reactions. The truth is that only those homeless people who want to be relocated are being relocated. And at first they have to show that they have a supportive family or a job waiting for them elsewhere before they get this ticket out of town. It's really a way to help the poor and not hurt the poor. Why is it that we knee-jerk react like that?
Well, even the president knee-jerked react when he heard about the conflict between Dr. Gates and the police officer. It's easy to knee-jerk react if you have strong opinions about something. It's easy to knee-jerk react and not say, wait, let me hear more of what's going on.
Let me get the facts.
If what you're hearing reinforces what you already think about something.
The reason is because we're so polarized.
Okay.
We've lost trust in each other. We've become, again, it's sort of cyclical, but we've become so red state, blue state, liberal, conservative, blah, 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 all these labels that we're tossing around. And people have divided into camps that as soon as somebody does something, we're all on edge thinking, well, that's not what the right thing is to do. And
I don't want to hear any more from you, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've just lost trust that these mayors may actually be acting in somebody's best interest other than their own because we've come so to distrust, for example, our politicians. They've ruled the headlines for all the wrong reasons. And so when a politician does something, we're all instinctively driven to say, oh, that's stupid because, oh, wait, let me just think now that I've spoken. And we're kind of like shoot, ready, aim, right?
Because we've all lost trust in each other. That's really right. We are so polarized in this country on social programs, on politics, on it's just so many things. I get exhausted by it all. Don't you guys?
Well, it's interesting, but just flying around the country, you land in Springfield, Missouri, and you walk out into the lobby from the jetway, and there's Fox News on every television, and Fox News say, oh, I guess I'm not in California anymore.
Well,
and then as soon
now
as
wait, I used to work for Fox News.
Right,
are you saying, but that that's like, what did you mean by that?
That they had, that's a red state. That's a red state, and they watch Fox
News. But see, you automatically say that's a red state. Yeah. I have three cousins who live there, the Smiley brothers.
Yay.
Dick, Bill, and Don. And they are dyed-in-the-wool Democrats. So Missouri is not a red state.
It's not?
Well, that's just it. I mean, if that's, God, you know, forbid, if a state is 52-48, we're labeling
well,
them a red state or a blue state.
We're also mistrustful, one thing, but also into labels.
Oh, yeah.
That's a red state. That's a conservative.
What are you?
That's a liberal. Yeah. That's a do-gooder. You know, I just did it myself at the top of the show.
I'm going to continue. But then you land in Chicago, and they've got CNN on. And when I was in Israel, you couldn't find CNN. Israel is mad at CNN, so it's only Fox News in Israel.
That's true.
So
yeah.
It just depends on where you are, or what. And a lot of people's opinions are just being reinforced by watching channels that reinforce their opinions. And not, maybe I do need to watch more Fox News so that I could learn how other people think.
I have a friend and a colleague who is a mediator. He's still practicing. He's 88 years old. He's this total Zen kind of guy, and he says he's a complete liberal. Far liberal, you know, rights of the people and all of that sort of thing. And he will sit down and watch Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly on television just to practice his tolerance.
Mm. Well, but see, that's
isn't
a great
that incredible?
It's incredible.
I'm a classically trained journalist. And
yes.
By that, I mean...
You play piano?
I can play a little Bach.
You're the last one left.
No, but I mean, I began my career at National Public Radio, very liberal. Mm-hmm. I've worked at Fox News, conservative. I've worked at MSNBC, liberal. I've worked everywhere, and I can tell you the best journalists, in my opinion, are the ones who've worked at a lot of places and have left their mind open long enough to be exposed to all sorts of thoughts
which
and opinions.
Which is exactly, I think, what Louise is saying. If you lived in Missouri and then Chicago and then Israel and, you know, all these different places, you would have been exposed to all of this. But if you just stay in your town all the time and you hear that, you know, the talk
and,
of that town.
And you watch the same television,
right, the same television
station all the time.
Yeah,
right.
The same announcers.
What we're trying to say here, folks, is open up your minds.
Yeah.
Talk it over with people who disagree with you.
Open your mind and your heart will follow.
Make room for a difference of opinion, because there might be some reason behind it, too.
That's true.
Also, open your phone lines. And because Olivia may call. So, Matt, could she?
Yes, indeed. We do have Olivia on the Talk It Over lines.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
You were just
hello, Olivia.
Psychic.
Hi.
Thanks for calling over. Talk It Over, Olivia. What is going on with you, dear?
Well, I have a problem, and I'm not sure how to handle it.
Okay.
So, me and a girlfriend have been working on a project for over a year now, and it's been sort of like off and on, but we are pretty passionate about it and excited about it. And then
and it's a business project,
ago,
right, Olivia? A business project,
yes.
Right?
Yes, this is a business project.
Okay, just making sure. Good.
And then a few months ago, another girlfriend said she wanted to work on something different. It was for something similar, but it's for an online thing. And so the three of us got together and came up with some great ideas. And then we got a meeting, and when we were on our way to pitch the meeting and pitch the ideas that we had, the night before we said, oh, these ideas that we have are okay, but they're not strong enough. And so we went back to the idea that me and the first girlfriend have been working on for over a year and thought we should bring that in because it seems to be the strongest idea. So we brought that idea in, and of course they loved it. And now we are to be working on it, and the third person, you know, the third girlfriend wants to change it in all these different ways. I'm feeling really conflicted because I feel like me and the first girlfriend have been working on this for over a year, and the third girlfriend has never even put any ideas for it, and now all of a sudden I have to share and we have to do this, and I'm having a problem.
Yeah, no, you don't have to share. You don't have to do it. I'll just jump right in here. What you pitched was the original idea with you and the first girlfriend. What was accepted was the first idea with you and the first girlfriend. What was accepted and now you can go gung-ho on has nothing to do with the third girlfriend. You know, thanks for coming in and, you know, noodling around with us here, but it is our original idea that was okayed, green-lit, as they say. So I don't, I mean, the both of you, the two original girlfriends, in my opinion, need to sit down and talk it over with the third one and make it clear to her, this really has nothing to do with you. Sorry, that idea that we all were working on just didn't fly.
Can I back you up for just a second and ask you about the personality of girl number three and whether or not she has something to offer if she's pulled into this project? Or is she just a know-it-all who makes it more difficult for you to launch the idea that they all liked?
No, she's not a know-it-all, and she's a wonderful person. And mm-hmm. my biggest problem is that she is a wonderful person, and I want, you know, to work with her on something. But, you know, and if she wasn't great, and she will say, oh, it's fine, and she would back down, and it would be all right. I'm just feeling extremely guilty, I guess, and saying, you know, this is really not fair that, you know.
Does she have something to offer? If you were to say, give her 10% or, you know, make it so that it does feel fair to all three of you, does she have something to offer?
She would have something maybe to offer, but I think I could offer her 10%, but to do it, you know, to split it three ways makes me frustrated.
No, and so you need to have that conversation. First, start with the original girl and say, uh-huh. do you want her involved? What would she do? What would her duties be? What is it worth? What would seem fair to her? What would seem fair to the two of us? Because when businesses get started, and Lee J will be the first one to tell you this, is when you have to iron out all of this so that you're not coming to him 3 years from now because you sold it and now you're fighting over who gets this and who gets that and who gets to do this job and who gets to do that job. You need to have it really clear right now and stop just being nice and just being caring and just being empathetic and really figure out what's fair before it gets any bigger. Lee J?
Wait,
what were you going to say?
Go ahead, Olivia.
I shouldn't feel guilty.
No!
It's business.
No.
This is business.
All right, so before I can vote on any of these things that my co-hosts have already weighed in on, I'd like to understand what you mean when you say brought her in and took it to someone. Tell me from a real business sense. Did you invite her in to be a partner with the two of you to explore?
We did invite her in to be a partner, and we came up with some ideas. Now, the ideas that we came up with, the three of us, mm-hmm. the night before the meeting, we decided that those ideas were not what this
right.
company was looking for.
And so the first girlfriend brought the original idea back to the partnership and into the partnership's meeting.
Right, but not until the night before.
I know.
But and I was not really consulted. We didn't talk about it. It just sort of said, what about that idea? And I said, okay, but me and the first girlfriend did not sit down and say, would you like to use this idea? It just sort of popped out. And I think out of desperation for having something that we felt really confident about, we went in the next day and pitched it. So my feeling was, you know, me and the first girl never discussed using it for this particular thing. And had we discussed it, and this is why I think I got so upset, is that if we discussed it, then I would have said something at that point and said, we've been working on this for over a year. If we go in and pitch this is, you know, the two of us, our idea.
And,
so,
and your instinct is exactly right. Had you set that prior to pitching it, then you would have had an understanding with the third girlfriend. And yet, it was the three of you as partners who had that meeting set up and who pitched that idea to the third party. That's the girlfriend's going to feel a right to have a stake in it. That doesn't mean you can't have the discussion, but it does mean that her expectations have now been set that she's got a third of this idea too, because it was a joint business meeting that all three of you had with this company. So, go ahead.
No, I was saying that's why I think I feel so guilty.
So let me do this for you.
Okay. Both
Diane and Louise said almost in unison, no, that's business. And it is business. But you have to conduct business in a way that makes you feel okay with it. And a lesson that I learned from Louise, from one of her prior partnerships, was I'd rather have a third or a fraction of something than half of nothing. And what you three can do is sit down and explain to girlfriend three, this is exactly the project the girlfriend two and I were working on, you know, for a year, and we feel some ownership here and some commitment and dedication to this, and we certainly want to share with you, but it's a little hard for us to give you a third since just as you said, none of the ideas that the three of us came up with flew. It was the one that the two of us had and had been working on for a year. And had it not been the last minute, the night before the presentation, we would have talked more about this before we walked in. And so then you just have an open conversation that says, I feel like there ought to be a little bit of a shift in the ownership here. We don't want to exclude you. We want to have you involved. But we're going to have a conversation about this. And then let her say, oh, I know it was your idea. I don't even want a whole third of it. But, you know, I'd like something because I want to be a part of it with you. And now you're having a productive conversation.
That sounds good.
Yeah?
Yeah, that sounds more like me.
So more importantly, how'd the meeting go?
Well, the meeting went great. And I'm so happy about that.
Good.
I just, you know, then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute. This didn't feel, you know, we want to go ahead with the idea and start, you know, producing it, and I don't want to have those feelings sitting in the air. And I think that sounds a lot more like my personality, sitting down and saying, this is, you know, what happened, and I wouldn't have said it, and what do you think? And I think that might be a good way for me to go.
And Louise is absolutely right. Now is definitely the time to do it, not later.
Yeah.
And I would write something up. You know, you don't have to go to a lawyer and all of that yet at this stage, but at least write something down that says, you know, we pitched this idea to this company, and as it goes forward, the three of us have agreed that we're going to split it this way, and this way, and sign off on it. And and you'll at least have something written down and marking off that progress.
Okay, great. Thanks, you guys.
Well, good luck with it, Olivia.
Hey, yeah, good luck.
And congratulations. It's exciting.
Yeah, go forth and multiply in your new business venture. You are listening to Talk It Over Radio. You can join in the discussion here by calling 888-531-7171, 888-531-7171, or drop us an email at talkitover@gmail.com.
Talk It Over is sponsored in part by the American Institute of Mediation, where leading mediators turn to continue their learning and career development.
This is Talk It Over Radio, solving the world's conflicts, two people at a time, with Lee J. Berman, Diane Diamond, and myself, Louise Palanker. And, you know, it's exhausting solving all these conflicts,
but we love what we do. We do it. We do it well, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we do. I think we do.
We've already got email coming in. That's how popular we are. Hey, look at this. This is a Juneau, Alaska. Sammy in Juneau, Alaska is writing in. We have three beautiful children, 10, 7, and 5. We recently lost a newborn to a rare malady, and it hit my wife so hard. It took her a full year to regain her emotional balance. Now she's come roaring back, insisting that we try for another baby right now. All capital letters. I'm not sure this would be the best thing to do, but how do I tell this to my wife? She seems to think her sole purpose in life is to have babies. I've tried to get her into counseling. She just won't go. Oh, my. There's a lot of dynamic going on there,
isn't
there?
Yeah, there's a lot to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that there are a lot of women who see themselves primarily as moms, and that's when they feel the most alive. Is when they're pregnant and when they have a newborn, and then they have the newborn and the newborn starts toddling and they start to feel this deflation, and they want to immediately, and I can't even imagine the kind of grief in losing a child.
There's also a window. You know, there's a window to that, and I think a lot of women start to think, gosh, I'm getting near that certain age. It's now or never, and so she's voted now. You know, that has an external influence on a relationship.
She probably, so what you're saying is she feels a sense of urgency.
She may.
This is going to be the only thing that will heal the pain of losing this baby.
Yes, yes. And this is what I do best, and I need to do it again right now because I'm feeling better. But I think, Sammy, your original thought is it's probably too soon. There are lots of things you can do, but first of all, what do we always preach on this show? Sit down, talk it over with her. Maybe you've been walking on eggshells a little too much because of the loss, because of the depression she suffered afterward, and you know, you need to sit down and have that real eye-to-eye, talk-it-over moment. You might want it, honey. I don't think it's right.
Here's the big thing, too, Diane, is that counseling may be exactly the right idea here, because what we're missing is that there are three kids who are not going to feel like they're good enough when mom is grieving for this baby and trying to make another baby, and there's three kids that need her focus right now because they are here. They're with the family. They're on the planet, and they need her love. So if she starts focusing all her energy on getting pregnant again, when the whole family is still reeling from the loss of the baby and there's three kids that haven't been getting enough attention during that grieving period, I think maybe a counselor can help her refocus on the three children that, that she has and loves.
Yeah. Oh, there's no question a counselor could help, but we're also hearing that she doesn't want to go into that. And once again, what I'm hearing is we're trying to solve a problem. We don't really know what it is. The thing that he's got to do, Sammy, is sit her down and say, what is it about having another baby right now that's so important to you? What is it that this is going to do for you? And if she says, I just want more than three, I'd love to have a fourth. You know, we had one, we lost it, and I really want another baby, and it's for the right reasons. Maybe it's the healthiest thing she could do.
Mm-hmm.
If it's because she feels that there's this gap she wants to fill, she wants to stop grieving and wants to be happy with the baby again, that may not be the healthiest reason to have a fourth child, but he's got to start asking questions. What is it about having this fourth child that's so important to you? And what is it about doing it right now that's so urgent for you? And then he'll learn. And I think that's a trap that we fall into, is trying to answer conflicts without really understanding what's driving them. We've got to figure out what's driving them and solve that thing.
Yeah, so often we just say, oh, this is what I think should happen, and I got to convince the other person to agree with me. Mm-hmm. When in fact, it's not agreeing, it's understanding the
exactly.
other side's viewpoint.
Right on the nose.
That's why you talk it over, folks, over here.
And in journalism, it's who, what, where, when, how, and the last thing is why.
Right.
I think between people, the first thing needs to be why.
That's very profound, Ms. Louise Palanker.
You know,
I'm going to write that down. That's really, you're right.
The question of, are we going to have another baby now or not? That's the what. But the why is definitely the place that all conflicts should be resolved at. Boy, how's that for grammar?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you got a dangling something over there,
she's got a red pen in her teeth about start marking my words off the screen.
You got a dangling participle.
I do. that's the place we have to go to solve a real conflict. And in fact, we can talk for a moment about the difference between conflict and a dispute.
Okay.
The dispute is, are we having a baby right now or not?
Mm-hmm.
The conflict is, I'm feeling loss because we lost an infant and I want to fill that hole or, you know, whatever that is. The conflict is within herself and within their marriage. The dispute is about whether we should have another baby or not. And frankly, if they weren't considering this, they'd be fighting over something else right now, because
really?
It's one of the stages of grieving is the anger.
Oh, that's interesting.
And couples, this is why losing a child is so hard, it causes such divorce, because one of the natural stages of grieving is anger. And so couples naturally turn to each other and take that anger out on each other because, well, that's who's there. And each of them have unspeakable anger and as a stage of losing a small child. And they just got to find a healthier way to vent it out. And that's absolutely, Louise is right. That's where a counselor could certainly help.
Speaking of venting things out, here's another email here. Listen to this one. Help me talk it over! ! My nutty fiance saw the recent video of a wedding party that danced down the aisle. The flower girl, the bridesmaids, the bride, the groom. Everybody was dancing. It was wacky. Now, Rob wants to do the same thing at our wedding. He's really serious, and I am just as serious that we have a traditional wedding. How do I talk some sense into him? Worried in Wichita. Yeah, I'd be worried too. I wouldn't want somebody doing the conga line down the aisle while I'm getting married, or the bunny hop, or whatever the heck they were doing. I saw that video.
The chicken dance. Right?
Yeah, that's crazy. Well,
I think they could compromise and they could dance to something a little more classical.
Down the aisle? No.
Well,
we're supposed to have the wedding march and you
Right, but that's traditional. And how many hits on YouTube is that going to get, Diane?
Zero.
Come on.
Because if you're not getting hits on YouTube, what are you doing with your time, right?
What are you doing? Well,
what value is your life have?
You know, my answer to that is that unless both of you really want to do this, it's not going to be much of a celebration and it's not going to represent much of a union, because if you're divided on how you walk down the aisle, you're going to be divided. So
on a lot of things. Yeah.
I think in order to do something like that, that is that non-traditional, you both have to really want to do it, or it's going to show on the face of the one who doesn't.
Yeah. You go get married and parachute down, or go get married in the swimming pool where you first met, or, you know, whatever. You both have to
want
to do it.
You both have to want that.
So when you ask Rob, right? Rob is the husband. When you ask Rob, the groom, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. what about dancing down the aisle is so important to you? Yeah. Then what Rob's going to say is, something along, I'll bet, something along the lines of, I just want it to be a celebration. I want it to feel festive. So then your answer to him is, how do we make it a celebration and festive without maybe dancing down the aisle? Are there other things we can do to make it celebration and festive? And
helium balloons, maybe.
Yeah, you know, releasing doves into the air. I mean, you know, there are other ways to do it. And you might be able to say, look, I want to support you in having you feel like it's a celebration because I want to, too. I just can't see dancing down the aisle, but let's figure out a way to make it. And you, together, you'll come up with a solution that you both want to do, rather than deciding that one should give in to the other one on whether or not to do the dancing down the aisle thing.
And there's compromises, too. I went to my friend Feeney's wedding, to Ari, and he came down the aisle to the Star Wars theme. And he walked traditionally down the aisle, but it was a Star Wars theme, and everybody cracked up, and it was, well, you got to know Ari. Yeah, exactly. So it was traditional, and yet a little bit of Ari. He was also wearing a top hat with a cane and
tail. Not a lightsaber.
A tail, well... You know, but it was very Ari, and it was fun, but it was still a traditional. I mean, I think there are compromises somewhere between a traditional wedding march and the Chris Brown YouTube wedding.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
No.
I'm a more traditional gal. But then again, I've been married for more than 20 years, so, you know. All right, we got time before the bottom of the hour break.
They didn't have YouTube when she got married.
No. I don't even know that they had Star Wars when I got married, but let's not go into that.
Oh, my God.
Right, you two, they're high-fiving each other. That's my expense. Harumph. Anyway, we have time for another email here. Meredith in Detroit, Michigan writes, I really like this guy. He loves amusement parks, specifically the rides, and the scarier the better, according to him. Well, not me. Roller coasters make me nauseous. The bumper cars make me want to barf. So what do I do the next time my boyfriend wants to take me to a place with cotton candy, calliope music, and gut-reversing rides?
What kind of music?
Calliope music.
It's a carousel.
I'm about to learn something new.
Calliope.
It's like that
carousel.
Organ sound.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, we're full of songs on this show. I love it. Anyway, if I speak to him about this...
Matt's falling out of his chair.
Yeah, stop it. Stop that. Anyway, and gut-reversing rides. If I speak to him about this, aren't I ruining his passion and his fun? And what do I say?
No, you can't begin... I think when a couple start dating, they pretend to like the thing that the other person likes because they want the person to like them.
Yeah, ooh, roller coasters.
But then there comes a point where you really, how long are you going to keep up that facade? Like if you start lying about your age, at what point are you going to tell the guy now that he's proposing marriage that you're really not 27, you're 39?
Answer, ooh. You just don't. You don't ever not be who you are.
Right.
Yeah.
So Meredith has to say something to new boyfriend that she likes so much.
Or you can be passive aggressive and bring a book to read while he goes on rides.
A Dramamine.
But there's so much that you guys do have in common that it's okay if then it'll become your little joke that he loves this and you don't. And that just needs to come out in the open right away.
Okay, so it's not that I don't love Disneyland, but it's one of my wife's favorite places on earth.
Is that true?
And yeah, and I, you know, I loved it when I was a kid. But, I'm at a point now where I like to support her going with her girlfriends.
Yes. Oh, Disneyland, have fun. Have a nice time.
You go, sweetie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
well.
Go.
All right.
Where am I not going? Disneyland.
Yeah. Wait, I thought everybody wanted to go to Disneyland.
I want to go to Disneyland. I'll go with your wife. I love Disneyland.
Yeah? All right. Well, listen, we are going to have to take a quick break here. When we come back... You know, some people smoke, some people don't. And the ones that don't smoke, I find, are very adamant about those who do
militant
smoke.
Militant non-smokers.
Especially those who used to smoke.
And
yes.
You're looking at one of them.
Exactly. Yeah, did you used to smoke?
No, I'm a militant non-smoker.
Oh. I used to a long time ago because, you know, everybody did that in Albuquerque.
That's
but anyway,
your voice got all
when we come back, Lisa's going to talk to us about a problem she has about smoking.
Liza.
So stay with us here.
Liza.
Oh, Liza. Okay. Hang on,
with
Liza. We'll be right back. But you know how it is. No matter what I did,
we gotta talk it over. If you'd like to be part of the Talk It Over family, call 888-531-7171 anytime or send us an email to talkitover@gmail.com.
We're We're back. You're listening to Talk It Over. We are solving the world's conflicts two people at a time. You've got Lee J. Berman, professional mediator, journalistic phenom, Diane Diamond. I am your wiseacre, Louise Palenker, and Matt. We're going to the phones. Who have we got?
Yes. Next up, we've got Liza on the Talk It Over lines. Hello, Liza.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, Liza.
Well, how are you?
Well, I wanted to talk about smoking and non-smoking and how to meet in the middle, sort of, kind of.
Okay.
When I met my partner, it's been 11 years now that we've been together. She told me that she was a non-smoker, and shortly after that, I found out that she kind of fibbed to me, and she was actually smoking, and so I was pretty angry about the fibbing part. Almost more than the smoking part, really.
Sure.
But you know, we got through all that. We talked, we fussed and argued, and a few years later, she quit smoking for health reasons. She had a mild stroke, actually. And
oh my!
Actually,
wow.
I was very proud that she kind of took the bull by the horns and did this thing cold turkey.
Wow.
And you know, and of course, my selfish side, you know. Personally, I was kind of thrilled about it because, you know, there no more cigarette smoke or odor in her clothing or hair or anything. You know, I'm a non-smoker, and I can't take it anymore. I used to smoke. So anyway, she has started to smoke again.
Oh.
After about,
oh, no.
It's been like 6 years now.
And you could smell it immediately, especially, I mean, I used to be a smoker too, and a long, long time ago, but you can, when you're not a smoker, you can smell it in hair, like you say, the drapes, the carpet, the car, the everything. So you caught her again, didn't you?
Well, yeah, she didn't fib. I mean, we're not fibbing. And also, we did make an agreement. I mean, she does smoke outside. We have a nice area outside, you know, little area for her to be, to have a cigarette, but so it's not infiltrating the house, not smoke that way, but still, I am quite concerned. I mean, we are older now, and I have also concerns about her health, our future, her health and our future together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we're not babies. We're in our 50s. There's a lot of risk there, and of course, it's going to smell. It's just going to be really bad
anyway. Was it stress that brought it on? What do you think caused her to pick it up again?
My first hunch is stress. It's, you know, it's not been an easy year financially. You know, I can go on and on. There certainly are stress reasons.
But Liza, let's move beyond hunches. What does she say when you confront her about it now? I'm given the history of how you've been through it with her. What does she say these days?
Well, what she says is, I know, I shouldn't mm-hmm. be smoking, and I wish that I wasn't,
but I'll
be back in the house in 20 minutes.
Liza, what would happen if you said to her, I wonder what it is that's making you do something to yourself that you know is bad for you?
Ooh, make her soul search,
yeah.
In other words.
I mean, she says, I know, she's clear that either she's out of control and can't stop herself, even though she knows she should, or that she's doing it consciously and voluntarily, and that might be a sign of other things, like Louise said, stress, or maybe something worse. But she's got to do some soul-searching about this because she knows it's wrong. She promised you she'd stop. She stopped for 6 years. There's something driving this for her that's beyond nicotine.
Well, and that's true. Now, you said something interesting. You said she promised me she would stop, and that's to me is never really the right reason to stop for anybody.
Although
you have to want to stop yourself, yeah.
Exactly,
but a promise in a relationship is still a promise, regardless of whether it's about smoking or picking up the kids or, you know, whatever.
Right. Well, yes, I'm losing what was your question, because it was leading me somewhere else thinking about this situation.
My question was about asking her to do some soul searching, and then you said that promise isn't ever a good enough reason to quit doing something.
And what it, you have obviously had a talk it over moment or two or three or five with her about this, but absolutely. Have you ever taken the Lijay approach, which is, what is it about this habit you've started again? What was it, Lijay?
That's so important.
That's
to
so
you.
Important to
more,
you.
Yeah.
Because you know it hurts your health. So what is more important than your health?
Well, that is a very wise way to put it to her, without. I fear her defensiveness about it, and that may be a way. What you're proposing right now is a way for her to maybe not become defensive.
Yeah, I'll tell you why it's not, because to this point, it's been your issue that she stopped. If you ask her, what's making you keep doing it, even though you say, I know I should stop, then it becomes her looking at her problem
right.
rather than your problem with her smoking.
That's
where the defensiveness goes away.
And it breaks down a certain barrier, I think, where you make her talk it over with herself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So try that. Try that. See,
I am.
See where
I
that
will.
Gets you.
And I'm going to call you back and tell you what happened.
And we love that when you
do
call
that,
us
Liza.
Back. Hey, good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks
oh
for calling.
Oh my gosh. Both of my parents were very heavy smokers and very defensive about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
much so that after I would tell them, oh, come on, please don't do this anymore. And I go home and I come back and visit. My mother had a bumper sticker on my bathroom mirror that said something about, you know, I'll smoke if I want to and don't. It was like, okay,
yeah.
this is my cue to not bring this up. Don't yeah. talk it over anymore.
And the reason I didn't weigh in there was because I just don't know about the powers of nicotine and how seductive it is. So it's not just that she doesn't feel that she deserves to not smoke or, you know, whatever the underlying things, reasons are that we do things that are unhealthy. But I just, from what I've heard and read, that drug is so mm-hmm. seductive mm-hmm. that I don't even know where to begin. Because
you know,
if you're a non-smoker and people who are not, you know, former smokers say, I still think about it. And you feel so bad for them that there's this thing that's tugging at them every day.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We have this thing where we say people have addictive personalities, the gamblers, the cheaters, the, you know, whatever. I think everybody has a little bit of addictive something in them.
Sure.
And to have a guilty pleasure that they can rationalize to themselves is a victimless crime and that doesn't really hurt anybody but themselves. And they're doing just fine. Thank you very much. That gives them the ability to give into an addiction rather than fighting it off. And that's a choice that people have to make. Am I going to set my mind to doing this because it's good for me, or am I just going to give into it and have the extra hot fudge and cherry on the ice cream sundae today?
Oh, you know? Yeah. That sounds great. Every once in a while, I just have to have like chocolate or caramel.
Yeah,
but,
me too.
Right, but the thing I hate so much about smoking is that it affects the immediate surroundings, and it affects the drapes and the carpeting and the clothing and whoever you're kissing or holding or hugging, and it affects everybody. And it's so, to me, it's so hostile. It's pushing people away who want to love you, who want to be close to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't weigh in there because I did not want to come down too hard on Liza's partner, because I really think it's passive aggressive, but then it could be the nicotine's fault. So I don't know. I just don't know.
I'm afraid we're not going to solve it here today, but maybe Liza and her partner, I think the best thing was to, what you said, Lijay, yeah. make her answer that question. Why am I doing this to myself?
Right. You know? And you know, the reason that Louise just identified is the reason why smoking is always a flashpoint in a relationship, because it's not just doing it to yourself. You're doing it to your other person too. And it does have that hostile quality to it, that invasive quality that makes it a flashpoint in a relationship when you have a smoker and a non-smoker or someone who's trying to quit, just like drinking and other things do. There are certain things that relationships gravitate to mm-hmm. because they're intersections of our different value systems.
Oh, I see.
We have another very interesting, this is a little long. This email is from Stephen in Bridgeport, Connecticut, but oh, it's fascinating. Dear Talk It Over gang, I need your help. I've met the most amazing woman online. We have been chatting and emailing for almost 2 months, and while I know this sounds funny to say, it even looks funny as I type it here, we have connected on a level so deep that it long ago dwarfed anything I ever experienced with another woman.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. I've had relationships and dates for about 25 years now, and it's unbelievable how we can have this much connection from only typing from our souls. She has been pushing to meet me. I've been putting it off, making every excuse I can because, frankly, I'm short. I'm a bit portly. I'm just not a very good-looking guy. I'm now scared to death that I'm going to lose this woman who's become the love of my life as soon as she lays eyes on me. Do I try to talk this over with her before we meet, or should I wait and see her expected reaction? And if so, what do we talk over then?
Wow.
So am I to believe that they haven't described each other or sent each other pictures?
Apparently
sounds
not.
Sounds that way, yeah. Sounds like they've just been communicating
and for a couple of months, and he is already deeply, deeply in love with her. He's dated other people. It's not like, you know, gosh, I finally found someone who will communicate with me. Stephen,
Well, there's a way, when you communicate without body language and without the parts of our personalities that we read from each other by being present or even hearing each other's voices, there's a way of communicating that is so instinctive. So when you eliminate all of those things that come from personal contact or from hearing each other's voices, when you just have the typed word, there's freedom to bond within that, within not having to worry about what makeup am I wearing, or how's my hair, or am I a little too chubby, or whatever. So there's that, all that freedom, and it just feels glorious to just have souls connect like that. But they need to start by speaking on the phone,
mm-hmm.
and he needs to start cluing her in to what his appearance is, and that he's a little self-conscious, you know, because I go to the mall, I walk around, I see people holding hands, both of whom are not prize winners, you know, and yet they've found each other.
Yeah, but
so
she
may be just as nervous as him.
What's the language that he uses, Lee J, to say to this love of his life, I'm short, I'm portly, I'm not that good looking, please love me anyway?
I don't...
How does he say this to her?
I don't think he should say it that way to her, because... so many reasons, I can't even name them all, but the first and most important is that says more about what he thinks of himself than anything. We don't know what she's going to think. If she's a good person and if she's feeling the same love after 2 months of typing on the internet, then at some point she's going to love him no matter what he looks like. She's going to say...
Well, that sounds right, but, you know, people get a visceral reaction.
I understand. So if he's really concerned, this is one of those rare instances where I would recommend being indirect. They must have chatted about stuff like this in their relationship at some point. But at some point, he's going to say, what are you going to do if I turn up and I'm 3 inches tall and I'm a frog? You know, and have her say, you know, well, I guess it'd be over.
Really,
or
hot. Keep talking. what are you wearing?
you know, I mean, he's got to almost go to an extreme and make a joke out of it to prepare her.
Well, she may not be prize winner either.
Right. Did you see the episode of the Brady Bunch where Marcia gets braces and then she's really worried, and then the boy that she's going out with, he shows up and he's got braces too? Oh my God!
No, I didn't see that
so
one.
Awesome. I'm just saying, she's nervous too. They're both going through this, and they could be adorable together, but you have to start with some honesty.
And the only thing he's got to do is remind himself that he's putting himself out there. He sounds more vulnerable than he's ever been in his life. And that's not a bad thing.
It's not.
Go with your heart.
Go with
That's
your
what we
heart.
Like to say here on Talk It Over Radio. You are listening to Talk It Over. You can join in our discussion by calling 888-531-7171. I'll say that again, 888-531-7171, or email us at talkitover@gmail.com.
Okay, Matt, we're going to the phone. Who've we got?
Yes, next up on the Talk It Over lines, we've got Joey. Hello, Joey.
Hi, I am calling from Austin. I'm a big fan of your show.
Oh,
love
wonderful,
that.
Joey. How are you doing? What's going on there? Tell us what's happening with you.
Well, I recently moved into an apartment complex, mm-hmm. which I've never lived in an apartment complex before. And so I'm having like a new set of issues that I have to deal with. I have a neighbor who has parked in my parking space several times and blocked me in the morning.
Ooh.
Loud neighbors, and, you know, some things I think, you know, need to be addressed, the neighbor blocking me in. But loud neighbors, I don't know if that's something that, you know, you just sort of deal with when you live in an apartment complex, or if you talk to those people, and if you do, what you should say so you're not sort of that annoying, nasty neighbor. So
Have you gotten to know anybody and had a conversation with any of the guilty parties here?
No, I don't really know any of the neighbors who are actually noisy. The one who blocked me in one morning in my driveway, you know, doesn't even say hello when you say hello to them. So.
Well, that would kind of follow that somebody would be that unsocial, because they'd have to be unsociable to park behind you and not care that they're ruining your morning.
Completely self-centered. Yeah,
exactly. So I'd be less worried about being liked and more concerned about setting your boundaries. But I also have this sort of chuckle to myself fantasy every time I walk into a Starbucks at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, and it's jam full of people, and I'm saying, what are all these people doing? It occurs to me that many of them are just getting out of their noisy apartments and coming someplace to sit and, and work on their computers quietly. So you know, some of it is adapting. You know, when you live in a densely populated area, like an apartment building or a condo complex or something like that, you're going to have to deal with a certain level of noise. The question is, what's the boundary that's realistic? And I think that's kind of what you're asking.
And how do you do it when you're the new kid on the block?
Exactly, exactly.
Joey, you're probably smart to be thinking about this. Okay, I've just moved in. I've got some problems with these other people, but I'm going to take a breath before I deal with it.
Exactly.
And that's smart. That's a smart thing. But he has to talk it over with somebody who, like, blocks him in.
Of course, of course. And, you know, with the noisy neighbors and that sort of thing, if it's, you know, the middle of a Saturday afternoon, well, they're probably allowed to be making noise in the middle of a Saturday afternoon and having fun, hooting it up a little bit or whatever they're doing. But if that goes on beyond, you know, 11, 1130 at night or 1030 or whatever the local ordinance is, then you're probably at a point where you got a couple of choices there. And we've gotten phone calls like this before. You know, do we knock on the door and confront them and say, hey, guys, can you turn it down? Do we, you know, do we call the police and have them knock on the door or something like that? You know, then you've got those choices to make. But first, you've got to decide sort of where the tolerance point is and where the point of realistic living amongst other people in a densely populated community is. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you, do you feel like you could go to this person who's blocked you in and say, hey, you know, the other day you blocked me in and, you know, that really wasn't very cool, but we didn't really talk about it. Please don't do that again.
Yeah.
I mean, could you do something?
Perfect.
Always being polite, of course.
Yeah, I you know, I think so. I mean, I initially wasn't even sure which apartment they lived in when I came out that morning to get out of my parking space. You know, I had to knock on doors until I found the person who was blocking me in.
Well, that's awful.
But yeah, now that I know where they are, I think I could definitely, you know, if I see them out and about, say, you know,
yeah,
it wasn't cool.
You know, and you can also say, hey, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Joey, and I live in apartment. You know, I've always found that it's best to be really upfront, not write notes and not sign them. In other words, just say who you are. If you know, and if it's a new car, you know, the next time it happens, make sure that people know who you are, that you're not hiding behind some anonymous identity, that you're willing to say, hey, I need to get up at 6 a.m. I'm wondering when you guys are gonna turn down the volume and what's expected, you know, in this apartment building, so that we can be on the same page here about what we're expecting from each other. And that way everybody knows who you are. They know what you'll put up with and what you won't, and that you're super nice about it when they cross those boundaries.
Yeah.
That sounds reasonable.
I really like the idea of going and just introducing yourself. Then, you know, people can do, people often do nasty or inconsiderate things to people they don't know, because
exactly.
What the hell, they don't know you.
There's no cost.
But once they know, oh my gosh, that's Joey's car, I'm not going to block that in.
And he's a nice guy.
And he has to be at work at 7.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I've done when it's noisy late at night and I've got to get up early in the morning is I'll knock on the door and say, hey guys, I'm really sorry. I got to get up at like 6 a.m. I don't want to keep you from partying. You know, maybe you could just close the doors and windows and have a good time. I just, you know, it's just keeping me up out. You know, then I'm showing that I'm understanding and I'm not trying to make them shut the party down and, you know, kill their good time. I'm just trying to say, can you sort of Contail, what's the word I'm looking for?
Just, you know,
curtail it. Yeah,
contain your amusement.
Contail, curtail.
Because now you're a person with a face and a personality and a job to get to and sleeping needs. You're not just some new guy who moved into apartment C1 or whatever it is. You know, you're someone that they know and like, and they're more likely to want to be kind to you because you're a known entity rather than a stranger.
I like that idea because hopefully I could make a friend out of it.
Exactly.
Too,
so. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You will. Trust me.
You will.
All right, Joey. Thanks for calling. Really
appreciate
it. Thank
you so much for sharing that with us. Really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, here's one. This Cynthia in Manhattan, New York has a conflict with her father. The problem is that he married a woman who's a total narcissist. No, I didn't say that. Cynthia said that, okay? She did not come into my life till I was well into my 20s, but she decided that she knew better about how my wedding should be. Mm. Oh, I had in my mind how I wanted the wedding to be, but because my father was paying for the wedding, because she had her claws deep into him, he backed away, and they basically said that if I didn't do everything that she wanted, he would pull the money off the table. We finally eloped to avoid the stress. Now my husband thinks my family is nuts. She's still lurking in the background. I've begun to talk with my dad again, but I'm worried about her. How do I begin to talk this over with him? Ooh, dad, don't like your new wife. Keep her away from me.
Yeah, but it sounds like that's what's happening. I mean, it sounds like dad isn't intervening and is letting the new wife sort of rule the roost over his own blood daughter.
And he's losing his relationship with his daughter, but it sounds like she's trying to get the relationship back. So how does she explain to the father what the new stepmom really means to her?
I think it's tricky. I have a cousin that's going through a very similar thing. His dad is married to a woman that he thinks is very controlling like this. And a lot of men who have been married their whole entire adult lives, they don't want to be single for half a second. And they'll marry the next one that comes along because they just don't know how to be alone. And then they wind up with these controlling, because usually the type of woman who hits on a guy who's newly widowed is a controlling type of woman.
A shrew.
So your dad winds up with these hussies who just, it's my game now.
So how do you tame the shrew?
New sheriff in town.
Wait. Let's even normalize this. Let's say that the new wife is a perfectly wonderful person, but who is just overly opinionated, maybe never had a daughter of her own and wants to, you know, stick her nose into the wedding and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
How do you talk that over?
And maybe Cynthia's being a little too...
well, I don't know.
Protective of and not, you know, this is stepmother and he left my mother and, you know.
It could be, anyway. But it's definitely the first conversation is with dad.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Lee J? Oh,
absolutely. And What I think she's got to do is do what we're always talking about on here, the iMessage statement to dad. She's got to say, Dad, when you let your new wife intervene in my wedding to a point where we had to elope to avoid her, it makes me feel like you don't love me as much as you love her. Because I needed your help then. And what I need to know is that you love me and you'll be there for me like my dad.
Is that what she should say?
Yeah.
Ooh,
she
that's
needs
pretty
to,
blunt
she needs
and
to say,
direct.
This is how I feel.
I like that.
And I need your help.
Diane likes everything that's blunt.
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
I think you should club her over the head. I like that.
I can't stand that woman.
Because either love dad's it. Not getting it. No, not I can't stand her. Just,
no,
just,
I know.
I mean, this is how that affected me. And this is what I needed from you. And in the future, what I'd really like is if I tell you, I want something a certain way. I need you to know that that's important to me. And, you know, if your new wife has a different opinion about it, of course I'll listen to it and have a conversation with her. But if I still want to do it my way, you got to know that
I want that respect.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. From you. You're my dad. I want you to give me the freedom to do the things I want to do and not let your new wife pull your money out of my wedding if I, you know, threaten that.
Yeah. And as much as it's your money, it's tradition that the dad pays, and it was my wedding.
Yeah.
So it should have been a team effort, and I felt completely usurped.
So in the future, what I'd like is to know that you'll be there for me. And just, you know, give him an easy one. You know, nothing that he's got to jump over the moon to do, but just be there for you. Let's start with that.
Yeah, yeah. And just let him know that you are a whole, complete, and human being, adult, not a child, and that you're not going to put up with that again.
Well, but the thing, you know, the thing that we need to include here is that the dad is worried that if he doesn't cave to the new wife, he's going to lose her.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to be alone. These guys, I'm telling you, who have been married their entire lives, they don't want to be alone, especially as they get older. It's very important that they have someone.
When I die, if I die before my husband, make sure he gets a good one, okay? Not a shrew.
I will pick someone out just for him.
You do.
I think you and Diane's daughter should consult before allowing Michael to.
We will form a committee.
Like a screening
committee. Yeah.
Yes. Nah, she's too fat, but she's too skinny, but yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, that was good advice. Hey, listen, I want to talk before we go about this conflict, this business conflict that Louise and I have had that brought, we've got to be a little obtuse about this.
All
but,
right.
We had a business thing we wanted done. A third party came in and said, yeah, I'll help you with that. That'd be great. And then that person sort of disappeared. Not only not helping us, but also taking all of our materials that we needed to complete this business project.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't know. Have you ever heard from her again?
No.
But you, my fabulous friend Louise Palanker, you finished the project by duplicating all that material because she never gave it back.
Yeah, I had to recreate all the elements
and you did it.
Do it myself. Yes.
I'm thinking that she was way more than just inconsiderate about that.
Well, what happened was Diane and I were talking about this earlier, and I said to her, because Diane asked our producer, hey, did you ever hear back from so-and-so? And, you know, I guess there was some cryptic, you know, exchanges, but I said to Diane, I said, I think she probably thinks about it every day because it's unfinished business, whereas I went ahead and finished it on my own, and I don't think about it.
It's off your plate.
It's off my plate. But
it's obviously still bothering Diane because she brought it up.
No, she was just curious.
No, okay.
I think the person who doesn't finish something and leaves unfinished business and leaves people hanging, that person is more plagued by something than the person they did that to.
This is the point. This is really why I wanted to bring it up. Because when you don't talk it over, when you let things hang, it becomes a big old festering sore. Not for you or me. Because, you know, hey, we went on, we did the project, you did the project.
But look what
happened. Thank you.
She let you two down because she would rather have let you down and let the project suffer until you had to come get the materials and go do it for yourself, rather than talk it over with you and say, I'm just too busy, I can't get to this right now.
I am so sorry, I know I promised.
Can I help you find someone else or something?
She just went silent.
Yeah, so not talking it over is why you're still talking about it today, because she let you fail and let your project fail rather than talking it over with you because that was too hard for her to say, I'm just overwhelmed, I can't do it.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I think it's a lesson to everybody.
It is.
Many of the people who call us say, yeah, well, I think I can talk it over with him. And you, when they hang up, I'm thinking to myself, they're not going to go talk it over.
Yeah, sometimes I hear
that. It's too hard. It's too hard for them. But this is what happens. It becomes a plague, a scab on your brain that you really have to help it.
One of the mottos that I came up with because of that experience and some other things there were a lot of things like that were going on around me where people were not finishing things they had promised and not doing things they had promised. And
I promise you something?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
it's what Diane's talking about and some other things in my life that were going on around the same time. And I came to the conclusion that you know, that because I mentor kids and
can't
I want
to... anybody.
That I want to give kids good lessons to live by. And one of them is if you can be where you say you're going to be and do what you say you're going to do, your life will be golden.
Say what you mean and do what you say.
And don't say you're going to do something that you really don't want to do, because you probably won't achieve it, and then you're going to make everybody...
Yeah. So when I say do what you say you're going to do, what I mean by that is if you think you can't do it, don't take it on. Don't be a pleaser in the moment.
Bingo.
Be a pleaser in the long haul.
We started talking about immediate gratification. We're finishing up talking about the same thing. Talk it over now. So it's easy not to, and to pay the price later that's a much, much bigger price. It's smarter to delay the immediate gratification. Talk it over now. Get it over with so that there is no big dark cloud waiting for you.
Set the ground rules. Yep.
Set the ground rules.
Well, there's our lesson for this week. Take it with you.
And harp. Okay. So I want to thank all of our callers for sharing their stories with us. I want to thank Engineer Matt, Producer Trish, Webmaster Pierce, Mediation Guru, Lee J. Berman, Journalistic Phenom, Diane Diamond. I am Louise Planker. And with that, Talk It Over is over.